3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
Docs. So there you go, a little personal information. Do you? I thought so. A little later on in the program today, we're going to have something new. We're going to have a weekly segment. We're going to have Bruce Kaufman from TalkingRadioBlogs.blogspot.com. He's going to come around in the second hour and going to talk about the state of talk radio today, all the latest talk radio news and scandal and whatnot. And he'll be with us, pretty much at the top of the second hour, just slightly after that. Do want to mention once again to everybody that Billy Shears wanted me to let you know, and I gladly let you know. And by the way, Billy's the music director here at the Guy James Show, sends all the great music that we get. The Sting song, Fragile, that we had yesterday, which was a recording of it, he has posted a very special commentary and different rendition of that song, actually done at a live concert on 9/11, the 9/11, 2001. And you'll find that over at unreportednews.net. So be sure and check that out on Billy Shear's page over there. We heard from my friend Tom Hartman this morning. He's having a tough day. He's in the devil's den, you might say. He's at that, Conservative Political Action Conference in Washington, D.C. What he's doing there, I don't know. He's a thorn in their side. He's a skunk in the chicken house, as we used to say, a fly in the ointment, all that. A liberal talker, at least progressive talker, is what Tom calls himself here at this right-wing deal. And there's all sorts of nasty people going to speak. Imagine Tom Hartman at this thing, and I'll razz him again when I talk to him again. Cheney's going to speak there. Hannity's going to speak there. Senator Mitch McConnell and the man Coulter. And Tom DeLay. How do you show your face in public when you're Tom DeLay anymore? How do you do that? Michelle Malkin, David Horowitz, Congressman Mike Pence, Newt Gingrich, Phyllis Schlafly, Wayne LaPierre of the NRA. Oh, my God, what a group. Wouldn't that be a good place to throw in a stink bomb? Oh, my God. I can't imagine being in the same room with some of those vile, vile creatures. Ann Coulter and Tom DeLay and Michelle Malkin and David Horowitz all in the same place. Whew! That gives me the willies just thinking about it. It really does. You're invited to call the program today. And again, if we're on a subject, we hope you'll stay on the subject unless we declare it kind of an open mic type thing. 866-546-5254. That's 866-546-5254. I would like to remind everybody, and I hope you get you don't get tired of me saying this because I don't say it very often. I try to refrain from saying it any more than I have to, but this show is run on listener contributions, and I must tell you the plain cold truth is the contributions have been sorely lacking. I understand the economy's tough and things are tough around, but things are tough for this program as well, and we are in dire straits of paying the expenses for this program. We pay most of it out of our pocket over the years, and that's no longer become a feasible thing to do, so we hope you will help us out. Guy James, the GuyJamesShow.com is where you can go if you'd like to make a contribution to the show. If they don't keep up any better than they have, then we're sadly to say, not far from the end. Let's just put it that way. So, just wanted to let you know about that. So, can't say we didn't have any warning here. Again, 866-546-5254. We'd be glad to have you give us a call today. One of the things actually I hear many of my listeners writing to me about, and I hear so much conversation around about the Congress right now. The other day I was griping about the current leadership of Congress. Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and Steny Hoyer and the rest of them, that just, I don't know. Is it just me, or don't they just seem unwilling to take on the president over the Iraq war with you know, their principal weapon at their disposal, the power of the purse. And Steny Hoyer ruled that out, and reports indicated that the leadership was also very wary of the Jack Murtha approach as well. And since I read a piece by David Korn of The Nation describing the unease of an unnamed liberal advisor who was worried, and I know who it is, but who was worried that either of these approaches would leave the new Democratic majority open to the charge of abandoning the troops, potential civil war was brewing, Korn said. And while I don't doubt David Korn's reporting at all, I can't for the life of me understand why these feelings are so widespread amongst those running the new Congress. And I've mentioned that we've talked to some of them. I just don't understand. And let's be clear on one thing. Every opinion poll that I have seen that has any credibility at all shows a large majority of the public against this war and wanting to get our troops out as soon as possible. There's even a new Washington Post poll that shows the Democrats having a large majority on questions of whom the public trusts more on Iraq. And large majorities say they're willing to see funds cut off or other similar actions. So why not, is my question. Well, apparently, even given these polls, the Democrats are still afraid that they'll be tagged as the ones abandoning the troops. And they've been tagged by the GOP and tagged by the media, and that's exactly what infuriates me. I'm so frustrated with this Congress right now. Look, the first duty of any political party is, of course, to win an election. You can't do anything unless you win an election. But the real corollary to this, it's necessary to persuade the electorate that it has the right public policies and the wisdom to govern. Any political party has to convince the electorate of that. And here, poll after poll is showing them that they have a more than receptive audience out here, and still they're hesitating. They're so afraid of the tax that'll come that they've lost faith in their ability to win the argument, and I just don't understand why. I'm growing more frustrated with it every day. And I know the media is not a level playing field. I know that the great and the good are more hesitant and willing to give this administration one more chance. I've lost count of how many times that they've wanted one more chance for these people to prevail in Iraq. And to a certain extent, I understand it if I'm them. Please, give me one more chance. Yeah. The problem with that is the public is they've had it. They've had it. You go out and talk in the public, and they've had it with this. And they're way ahead of the press. And they're way ahead of the polls on this. And yet, we've got these people in Congress that are waiting to be persuaded. And here we have a simple proposal by Jack Murtha as a first step. And all that legislation of his says is, before you send any more troops to Iraq, make sure they're adequately trained and properly equipped. That's it. Of course, Jack Murtha, being Jack Murtha and doing what he has done in the Congress for a good many years, he knows, because the military's told him, that those conditions just don't apply. So in essence, it shuts down the escalation. And what's the counter-argument here? That we should just send untrained and ill-equipped troops into harm's way? Just how does that support the troops? And that's what the Washington Post seems to be saying in an editorial denouncing the Jack Murtha plan. And I read that by the Post, and I go, what nonsense? Do they think that plays well with the electorate? And please tell me that this is an argument that can't be won. And guess what? The same Washington Post poll shows the public likes the Murtha plan as well. So all that's needed is a leadership that'll for once believe in itself on the Democratic side. That has confidence in its message and its ability to get it out. And the public is there. It wants to hear it. But Steny and Nancy lack the confidence to proceed with this. And so we have the situation where the public wants action, but the Congress is afraid that the people will say nasty things about them. I just don't get it. We've got a Congress there right now that really and truly is afraid of its own shadow, a Congress that's completely unsure of itself, and it's a Congress that's not worth its, you know, worth its salt if it doesn't grow a spine and very soon. And yet they're just willing to let this go by. Days and days and days go by, and there's no cohesiveness on the Democratic side. I frankly just don't get it, and I just don't think I ever will. I don't know how or why they think the public is just willing to sit here and just let this be for all this time. They just don't get it. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. You're welcome to give us a call, 866-546-5254.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Hey, you listen to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. If if you're visiting from iTunes or other places around the internet, we welcome you to visit our website, theguyjamesshow.com. A little commentary, a few links and all that on there. Keep you up to date on what's going on the Guy James Show. Welcome to the program. And you are invited to give us a call at 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. I was watching TV last night for a few minutes, and I saw, and I'll bet all of you have seen these ads or these programs by these televangelists, this vile group of people that are on TV. I suppose maybe not all of them, but a good number of them that are on there preaching this new prosperity ministry type thing they've got going. Have you seen those? There's one guy in particular, I can't think of his name right now. Of course, his wife sings on the show. That's a fairly common thing, isn't it? And he sits there with his hair all slicked back and his beautiful desk and office or whatever it is he's broadcasting, the set where he's broadcasting from. He was broadcasting from Jerusalem or taping in Jerusalem recently. That's a favorite scam, too. Take a bunch of people on a tour to Jerusalem and rake off the top of that deal. But trying to get you to pledge money and telling you that the good Lord will pay you back tenfold if you just donate to their program. If you give them $2,000, why, you're going to get $20,000 back. And you get, you know, if you get $5,000, you get $50,000 back. And they go all the way down the scale. If you give $1,000, you get $10,000. And if you give $500, you'll get, $5,000 back 10 times. And he had a minimum. That's what I don't understand. He had a minimum of $300. So if you send in $300, you got $3,000 back, but you couldn't go below that, evidently. But these people are they're just the limit, as my mother used to say. And then we find that this Kenneth Copeland, who's one of the most successful ones of all, his ministry now has a $20 million jet. Mm-hmm. You need that, don't you? A $20 million jet, and when they bought the thing with their ministry, they pledged that the aircraft would be used for their ministry. And the question has come up, are they practicing what they preach? And they're regarded by many as possibly the most successful televangelists, and they've taken a tremendous amount of money. But it turns out that, they fly to Australia, they make a layover in Maui, and then they head to Honolulu, and anyway, the question has come up, are they using it for personal gain? What do you think? And we have this minister up in Minneapolis, this Living Word Church in Minneapolis, a reverend by the name of Hammond. Turns out the church has loaned him $1.9 million, given him sweetheart deals on a plane lease. And I loved his comments. He explained all this at church last Sunday, and they stood up and gave him a standing ovation. But he says, he's got two houses in Florida, not two condos, two houses. And he says he doesn't have any control over the board that sets his compensation and that his pay is scrutinized by one attorney. And he got one of many laughs when he was explaining this to the congregation. Said the story left out his two motorcycles, and he also quipped that his Porsche has been an expensive ministry tool because a state patrol officer who gave him one of four speeding tickets that he's gotten in went through church membership classes, and he also says he has to buy expensive clothes because if I look decent, I preach better, so I'm really doing it for you. Amen. Isn't it fascinating that people will will actually sit and listen to these people? And shell out when the old offering plate comes around. Always been a fascinating thing to me. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Guy, first of all, this is Sarge. How are you
doing? Hi, Sarge.
Listen, what you're talking about, I just really can't get enough opinion on. These churches have really forgotten about Matthew 25, where it talks about taking care of others. Putting yourself to the side. What was it Jesus told the rich man? Go sell all you have and come follow me.
Well, that's those are some of the things that you're exactly right. Pushed aside, many of these are the ministries of me now. Take care of me first. And
well, you know, I had a church here in Columbia tell me I've been trying to get them involved on doing some stuff for Jackson County and helping get people down to work in Jackson County. And they told me that they wasn't interested because they did something a while back for the area, and that was enough for them.
Hmm. Well,
and that's one of your good hardcore right wing churches. But it's just, you know, it's sick. And then we got shows like yours that really need financial support, and yet these rich, filthy corporations are pumping money into shows like Limbaugh. Something's wrong here. Guy, something's awful wrong.
Well, we're going to possibly talk about that at the top of the hour.
Listen, I'm going to hang up, but
before right.
I do, I want to tell everybody, hey, if you want to help keep Guy on the air, unreportednews.net will make sure every penny you donate toward us goes to Guy James.
Thank you, Sarge. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, pal. Bye-bye.
Just amazing how these evangelists, some of them fleece people. So doggone much. That's always been something that's been very, very interesting to me. I don't know why. I really don't know why I'm so interested in it, but I am. I'll sit and watch one of those guys in awe, actually. Sit there with a straight face and, you know, pray and put his hand on the TV and sell miracle water and miracle oil and prayer cloths and I don't know what all. And have their wives to get up and sing, and usually the wives can't sing worth a damn, a la Tammy Faye Baker. how many of you remember that? Those of you that are, you know, maybe you don't have to be as long in the tooth as I am to remember Jim and Tammy Baker, but honestly, I used to watch some of that show in the morning for entertainment. I did. I actually watched some of it for entertainment because they were... Well, it didn't get much more entertaining than when Tammy Faye got up to sing. You would think with millions of people watching, what was that called? The 700 Club or something? I can't remember, but it's not important really. But they lived down close to Charlotte there and had their little amusement park that they built. And of course, Jim was bilking people out of millions of dollars and Tammy Faye would get up and sing. But didn't you ever wonder like I did? Didn't anybody ever take Tammy Faye aside and say, look, you know, girl, you're trying hard, but you can't sing a note. You're one of the worst singers that ever lived. Who in the world ever told you you could sing? Didn't anybody ever tell her that? She needed Simon Cowell. That's what she needed. She needed to sing and have old Simon Cowell talk to her one time. That probably, that's cruel, isn't it? That probably would have done it. Yeah, yeah. Where are we at here? Yeah, I already mentioned that that Tom Hartman is up at that conservative conference. He's going to have an interesting story to come, Bell, when he comes back from that. He really will. How many of you saw George Bush pass out that medal the other day? Did you see that with the stupid look on his face? He couldn't get it hooked on the guy. I'm sure a lot of you saw that. When I saw Bush, and I wonder how many of you thought the same thing, my brain tends to run kind of on an angle, I guess. But when I saw Bush give that medal for valor the other day, I was reminded that I haven't seen very many medals handed out, you know, Purple Hearts and so forth, but haven't seen very many medals handed out to the veterans of the Bush War in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan. And you would think as much as they've been trying to promote this war, do a good PR job on it, you'd think they'd be passing out medals like crazy, but they haven't been. But anyway, I was really pleased, and I wasn't paying close attention at first, and I was really pleased to see Bush bestowing the Medal of Honor on Lieutenant Colonel Bruce Crandall, and color me clueless, but I didn't know it was going to be done that day, and I didn't know anything about Lieutenant Colonel Bruce Crandall. And I thought, this is great. Finally, somebody from the Bush War, the Afghanistan War, is going to get the Medal of Honor. Until I realized that Lieutenant Colonel Crandall was actually being awarded that honor 41 years after his heroic actions in Vietnam. 41 years late, that's all. So I rationalized that this is the way it's done. I've not ever been in on a Medal of Honor. We had a guy from my hometown by the name of Martin that won the Medal of Honor, but I didn't know much about him when he got in. I was just a kid. And so I did. I sat and thought about it, and I rationalized that this is probably the way it's done, kind of like the Vatican in their beatification process. They have a lot of inquiry and research and interviews and such that's got to take place before giving out such a wonderful honor. And I finally understood the reason we've seen so few medals handed out for the honorable and the heroic actions in this current war. It's just a really long process. But then the question arises, how come it was clear right away how deserving these guys were of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, General Tommy Franks, who presided over the initial invasion of Iraq, former CIA Director George Tenet, and former Iraq Minister Paul Bremer. You remember these guys, right? Franks, who told Bush how easy the war would be, and CIA Director Tenet, who told Bush it would be a, quote, slam dunk. And Ambassador Paul Bremer, who we know for a fact, and he's admitted it and testified about it, presided over the disappearance of 14 semi-truckloads of $100 bills in Baghdad, totaling $12 billion. They've all had their medals for quite a while now. While guys like Lieutenant Colonel Crandall have had to wait 41 years. What's wrong with this picture? It just seems a little bit odd to me. Doesn't it seem kind of strange to you? Are you okay with it? I'm really not. Bremer, Tenet, and Tommy Franks, three absolute losers. Three people who have done a lot of damage to the United States of America. A lot of damage. And they no more deserved a medal than a man in the moon. And to think that they got the Presidential Medal of Freedom when there have been so many deserving people over the years who've gotten it, and these three clowns get the Medal of Freedom. I still say Tenet got his. I think he was bought off. Keep his mouth shut. What a load of crap. Have that ceremony. And I remember these ceremonies for Bremer and Frank and Tenet. Standing there getting a Medal of Freedom with these. Well, it's pretty disgusting. That's all I'll say about it. But it just, it makes me angry. And yet we've got soldiers over there dying and all the crap that's going on about that right now. Here we are at 29 minutes before the hour. You're welcome to give us a call, 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to give us a call. The Walter Reed Hospital mess. I know many of you have been keeping up on that. I know I have. It seems it's getting a little uglier every single day. We find out now that Walter Reed officials have known of the deplorable conditions for at least 3 years. And this one really frosted me. We find out that Joyce Rumsfeld, the wife of then Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, was taken to Walter Reed last October by a friend who was concerned about outpatient treatment. This was last October. And Mrs. Rumsfeld was told that her husband was being given a rosy picture of the hospital. And then the Walter Reed Hospital officials proceeded to ban the friend who brought Mrs. Rumsfeld in. Is there no end to the cover-ups and corruption that goes on in Washington, D.C.? And in today's Washington Post, maybe some of you saw it, Representative... I was so damn mad after I looked at the story. Representative Bill Young, Republican of Florida, admits that he has known of the neglect and the deplorable conditions at Walter Reed for years, but didn't do anything about it because when he approached hospital officials, they made him, quote, feel very uncomfortable, end quote. Here's a United States congressman that went to Walter Reed Army Hospital officials and was made to feel uncomfortable, and he took it? Young's excuse is just pathetic. From 1999 to 2005, he served as chairman of the Appropriations Committee, which, by the way, controls all federal discretionary spending. And he could easily have subpoenaed the Army and conducted a thorough public investigation of this. Did he? Of course not. The real problem probably is that Young was too close to Army Surgeon General Lieutenant General Kevin Kiley, who's a key figure in this scandal. He is probably just a little too close to him to take action. On January 19, 2007, years after Young had learned of the neglect, but 1 month before the Washington Post revealed it to the public, Kiley testified before a House subcommittee. And here we have Young at that committee reminiscing about how he'd known Kiley very, very well over the years and praised him as committed to the providing our war heroes with the very, very best medical care that is possible. And Young says to him, says in that committee, "Well, Mr. Chairman, I want to join you in welcoming our guest and our witness today, having known especially Don Arthur and General Kiley very, very well over the years. I thought they'd get tired of seeing us at their hospitals, and we haven't had as much opportunity to visit with the Air Force General, but I know that these gentlemen are committed to providing our war heroes with the very, very best medical care that is possible." Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? But as today's Washington Post shows, Representative Young's wife, Beverly, and presumably Young himself, knew that Kiley was a key figure responsible for the neglect. Beverly Young, wife of the congressman, said she complained to Kiley several times. She once visited a soldier who was lying in urine on his mattress pad in the hospital, and when a nurse ignored her, Young said, "I went flying down to Kevin Kiley's office again and got nowhere." He skirted this stuff for 5 years and blamed everyone else. Young said that even after Kiley left Walter Reed to become the Army Surgeon General, if anything could have been done to correct problems, he could have done it. Pass that old buck. Is there any few acres on earth where passing the buck is such a fine art as it is in Washington, D.C.? Scandalous behavior by people at the very top. Scandalous behavior for people who have sworn and propagandized the whole issue of supporting our troops. And as I've said before, yes, they have supported the mission. Oh, how they have supported the mission, but this is how they support the troops. This is how they support the troops. They send them over there with either no body armor or inferior body armor, either with no Humvees or unarmored Humvees at first, and get their limbs blown off, get their eyes shot off, come home in many cases in horrible condition, and then are sent to Walter Reed Army Hospital where they get this kind of treatment. And we're being told, and have been told for the past 4 years, of, oh, how they support the troops. Oh, how the Bush administration supports the troops. How many millions of those little ribbons have you seen being driven around on cars all over this country? Some people got their whole back into their car plastered with them. Support the troops, support the troops. I've even had conversations with people who have had those on their cars and ask them how they supported the troops. And I've had a few of them tell me flat out, "I support the troops by supporting the president." Well, you see what kind of support the troops are getting from the president of the United States. They're getting their tours of duty multiplied in the Iraq theater, in Afghanistan, going back twice, three times, four times. We're seeing now They're sending troops in that are not having any desert training. We're seeing now that an Army Guard unit, I can't find out, I don't have the page right here right now, but local officials, I think it was in Missouri, I'm not sure, I'll look it up. The National Guard unit being shipped out to Iraq, they didn't even have enough rifles. Support the troops. I think I'm going to scream if I hear any of them say that again. Support the troops. You know what I think of now when I think of support the troops? I think of mold and rats. That's what I think of. I think of that General Kiley telling whoever that representative Young's wife, oh, I can't do anything about it. I think of Paul Bremer knowing that 14 semi-truckloads of $100 bills were being stolen right out from underneath his nose or passed out to his pals. Think of the good that could have done for our troops at Walter Reed Army Hospital. Not $14 billion worth. How about $1 billion? How about $500 million? How about $100 million at Walter Reed Army Hospital? Would it not have taken care of all of this mess if somebody just would only give a damn? Does the public not see what is going on here? If they don't, they're blind. We have a president of the United States who is perfectly willing, and his party, I might add, is perfectly willing to back him on it, perfectly willing to send our young men and women to a foreign war, get them shot up or killed, and piled in heaps back in a filthy army hospital with rats running around and mold growing in a hole in the shower room floor and all the despicable scenes we've witnessed here recently. And then to have the ultimate insult, to have them be told, to have them be punished after this, that they're going to get up at 6 o'clock every morning and have an inspection at 7, when it's unheard of for anybody to have daily inspection after boot camp. Punishing these people. Punishment for these soldiers. Wounded soldiers, mentally and physically wounded. And they're punished because somehow the truth got out. I can't possibly tell you how disgusted I am with these people who have allowed this to happen and then turned it around and blamed it on the truth, on the troops. They're not allowed to even talk to the media anymore. Democracy. We're led to believe we're fighting for democracy in Iraq. And yet we've got a sock stuffed in the mouths of our troops in Walter Reed Hospital, not allowed to talk to the media anymore. Because they're afraid that their malfeasance and ill treatment of these soldiers might be made public, even more public. The very idea of this just sickens me. And it ought to sicken every last voting American. Anybody that pays taxes as a citizen that lives, any decent person in the world ought to be sickened by this. Supposedly the richest nation on earth, and we don't have enough money or we don't have enough compassion and caring within us to take care of our wounded soldiers when they come home. I'm sorry to belabor the point, but this is important. I can't think of anything that's more important right now. They want to talk about the morale of our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan, about how their morale might be lowered because the people don't want this surge to take place, this escalation to take place. And we want to cut off the funds. And oh, what about the morale of our soldiers? What about this? What could be more humiliating? What could hurt your morale more than this? To know if you are wounded, you might come home to these kinds of conditions. I don't think I've been more disgusted over this Bush administration and all that some of my right-wing correspondents that send me emails. Oh, it's not the president's fault. Whose is it? Whose fault is it? Can you tell me that the president of the United States couldn't have gotten his goddamn limousine and driven down to Walter Reed Hospital, stood there in the lobby and said, I want this taken care of right now? I don't care what it costs. I don't care if 1,000 people have to work all night. I don't care. I'm the commander-in-chief, by God, and I want this fixed right now. Tell me a real man wouldn't have done that. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, is this the Mr. Guy James Show?
Yes, it is.
This is Eric from Vermont, sir.
Hi, Eric.
How are you doing?
Okay.
Hey, listen. I'm on the same channel, I hope, on this. Support the troops. Republicans haven't supported the troops because they don't know that the Republican Party is not the Republican Party anymore. They are neoconservatives, and they have nothing to do with any sort of conservative Republican values at all. The mainstream media is not going to let the people understand that they haven't been supporting the troops. They haven't been supporting the troops from the get-go. It's the policy. And then we can shift the whole array around the facts, and we can get the American people propagandized through all these corporative media structures, and we can do the whole friggin' thing. So on and so forth. I can't understand why we can't put more pressure on the mainstream media to let the people know. Or is there some other suggestion that you may have? Because that seems to be a critical domino in between getting the American people to fall with the Walter Cronkite assessment of the Iraq situation approximately a week ago, where he said, we've lost. We lost a long time ago in Iraq. And the Walter Cronkite today is not the Walter Cronkite that has the influence that got us out of Vietnam to a certain degree in that influence. Is there something we can do with the mainstream media so people can really understand that they have been propagandized to? What can we do, Guy?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't have answers for this. I study the media nonstop. It's my job, and I don't know what the answer is. First of all, there is no great news organization anymore. There is no great news venue anymore. We get served up a little bit of news with a lot of pap, even on the network evening news. I don't know what the answer is, and you're right. We don't have a Walter Cronkite. We don't have anybody with those credentials anymore. We have people like John Gibson and Bill O'Reilly who claim to be newsmen. You know, what's the name on Fox News? I can't think of his name. Brent, whatever.
Oh, Hume.
Hume. I mean, these people are all clowns.
Brit Hume.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah. They're not. They're just clowns. They're not real newsmen.
They're very well paid clowns.
Very well paid clowns, and you've got your, you know, Wolf Blitzer and
big red noses that keep growing very, very, very far out into the sunset someplace.
Not a real newsman amongst them. Not one that I can see.
But somewhere along the line, we have to figure out the American people.
Well, it's not their fault, Eric. It's not their fault. It's not the news people's fault. It's our fault. Yeah.
We have to figure out how we can neutralize the effect that the mainstream media, which is so corporately propagandizing everything that is going on in terms of not just the Iraq war, but every freaking policy that's going on in this country right now. The American people have to take back our country somehow, but they have to become informed. How do they become informed? That's the problem.
Well, that's
they get the news because of AV stuff. It's audiovisual stuff. They don't read.
I think it's why ultimately, and I saw the producer of 60 Minutes talking about it the other night, and he understands ultimately the news, the responsibility of getting the news will head on over to mostly on the internet. There won't be any network news or anything. He sees it coming. I see it coming. It'll go to the net, to the internet. I don't think there's any question about it.
I go out every day to work, and I shouldn't because of my situation. But I mean, individually, I sort of say, well, you know, here's a good link. But people don't want to read it. It's so easy. You can sit back and to have the audio or the video. It's so passive. You can sit back, bingo. They can just sit there and stick a little plug into you and That's the news, kids. Okay, you're done.
Everybody wants it capsulized for them. They want their thinking done for them, and that's the tragedy of American society right now. Hey, Eric, you got to move. I got a bunch of calls here. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Good to hear from you.
I appreciate you being on there.
Thank you. Let's head on over to line one. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, good afternoon, Guy. Bill from Toledo.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, listen, I kind of think that support the troops slogan you were talking about, isn't that just another code name for supporting Bechtel, Boeing, Bell Helicopter, and all these other defense contractors?
That's exactly what it is.
To get the money.
Yep.
They don't give a shit about the troops.
Absolutely
you know
not.
That? I know that. I mean, that just goes to show if something like that can go on at that hospital, then all the money that we've given out towards this war, and we're not going to support these guys when they come home.
Yeah, and you know, it goes back to what Eric was saying. Here we've got the media that has convinced the public that, you know, of course we don't need to be convinced that we ought to support the troops, but we have the media convincing the public for how long now that the troops have been supported by this administration, when in fact the exact opposite is true.
Hey, Guy, you wonder why these guys can get $20 million to buy jets and Harley motorcycles and at these religious fanatics that you find on the TV. You wonder how they can get and the people are so stupid that they'll send the money into them people, and that's all they care about, that's all they talk about. But when there's something that's important going on, and we got guys dying over there, coming back with arms and legs missing, severe trauma to their brains and that. And, you know, that's where people's head. This country, we almost get what we deserve. We've been dummied down so terribly bad. You talk about the old newscasters, Walter Cronkite and the rest of them. Those guys are gone, and so's the news. We don't get any news anymore. Unless you're on a computer, what would you do, Guy?
Oh,
you would go to get your news.
I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't know of a newspaper I trust completely anymore. I'd have to get 100 newspapers and...
You couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
You could not afford it. It's just we're in a bad situation. How long is this war going to last? You know, they say, well, we'll give it till spring. We'll give it to 2008, and then somebody else is going to come in. You know, when they change hands in presidents, they don't snap their fingers and that war is over.
Oh, no.
We're looking at another 2 or 3 years down the road.
And when we see a story come out today, I've got it around here someplace, where Petraeus has been told by his associates that they got about 6 months or that's it. This is the last chance, and 6 months will show the way one way or another. So Petraeus is acutely aware of it, although he doesn't want to say so.
Guy, there was I was a medic in the Army, and I used to make admin runs, and I'd make it from Garmisch on into Munich. I'd leave Garmisch about 6 o'clock in the morning and get back about 8 o'clock at night. And I took 1,000 things there with me to take. I knew that hospital in Munich had 6 floors to it. I knew that every nook and cranny in that hospital. That was the cleanest place you'd ever want to see in your life. Mm. I mean, it was just absolutely spotless.
Who was working there?
It was all Army personnel.
Oh, no local hired people?
Oh, well, they did. They would have them in, like, the laundry and that. Just like the big motor pools. There's a big motor pool in Dachau we'd take our ambulances to. Those were all run by Germans and that. But, you know, your regular stuff, it was all done by the Army, but... I don't know. That's when we had a draft back then, too. And
the Dachau?
Yeah, the Dachau. It's just right outside of Munich. I've been there a dozen times.
Ooh.
It was the first time I went into that place. It just gave me goosebumps.
I imagine so.
And went in there and I dropped off a Bonneville ambulance the first time I went there. And there's all these German guys sitting around playing cards and drinking beer.
A Bonneville ambulance.
A Bonneville ambulance.
Army Brown?
It was Army Brown, and that thing would do 120 mile an hour on the Autobahn.
You know, it was a Pontiac Bonneville ambulance that received the casket of John Kennedy when it was flown back in from Love Field into...
I remember.
Yes.
Been at Bonneville, but that ambulance was a mile long.
Oh, yeah.
It's the longest thing I think I've ever driven in my life.
In the days of the old American land yachts, that's for sure.
Oh, God. But, you know, I just wonder, Guy, what it's all going to lead to. Are we going to still be in this war in 2008, 2009, a 10-year war, and there's still going to be, say, a war on terror? How can you have a war on terror?
Well...
And all the people are eating us up.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you love to wake up some morning, you know, and you turn on the tube, or you go and you say, hey, you know, this is a special bulletin. We've just received word that George Bush has declared the Iraq War to be over. He announced that we'll be withdrawing our troops immediately, and all of them will be home within 6 weeks. And except for maybe a couple of secret special ops teams, our participation in Afghanistan will end as well. Things like that. You know, just things off the wall that you'd never... Bush says he now realizes that our troops being in that part of the world is leading to an increase in the hostility toward the United States by the people in that region. And from now on, we'll fight this war properly with properly trained and deployed real small effective strike forces that can strike any place in the world in a matter of hours, which is how you should fight a war on terror if you're going to. But we're not hearing any such thing.
No. Hey, Guy, I want to make a quick comment, then I'll hang up on your last night's show at the very end there. I wanted to get in, but she's talking about the insurance companies. I just wanted to give you a thing. It says, insurance companies, you're just talking about it. It's like making a bet with an insurance company. Insurance company is supposed to be like a bookie. But one difference between the bookie and the insurance company is the bookie usually will pay off.
That's right. He won't take you to court, will he? He'll just pay you.
He's happy to give you the money.
Yep.
Because he'll know you'll be there next week. But
that's exactly right.
The insurance company ain't like that.
They still have bookies in Toledo?
Well, I'll never tell you.
they still run football pools.
This was a wild town back in the 1910s and 1920s, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. I mean, I didn't live there then, but Toledo.
You heard a lot of stories.
Toledo has a reputation. Yes, indeed.
It sure does. Listen, Guy, you got a great show, buddy.
Thank you, Bill. Good to hear from you.
Keep up the good work.
Ah, yes. A lot of those old towns like Toledo and Youngstown and, you know, Cleveland and Dayton and Gary, Indiana and Peoria and places like that had quite a little bit going on that people didn't know about. Oh, here we are with only 3 minutes until we go to the top of the hour. Hard to start on anything new with just a couple of minutes to go. I did want to mention that Condi Rice this past week, as many of you know, kind of threw down the gauntlet. And I wonder if she did it, set it on her own, or did she get it cleared to Dick Cheney? She said that Congress shouldn't micromanage the war and interfere with the president's troop deployment plans. And she also said the president would ignore any congressional requirement to withdraw the troops. Ignore. Well, you know, those are big words. So that's where we stand. Condi just laid down a marker. In my opinion, it's time for the Congress to do exactly the same thing. They should pass a law doing two things. Number one, I fully support the MRTHA proposal. Enact the MRTHA proposal that the president may not deploy any troops not trained or equipped. And already troops are being sent that haven't gone through the course at Fort Irwin to acclimate them to the desert. They're sending people that are not trained, no desert training right now. And number two, the funding bill to which the former's attached should also contain a prohibition on any military action in Iran without the express approval of a vote of Congress, and to concentrate the president's mind there should be a language in the bill that any violation of the above will be treated as a high crime and misdemeanor under Article 2 and therefore subject the commander-in-chief to impeachment. It's time to put up or shut up, And the question is, does Congress have the cojones to do it? So far, the answer is no. So far, a handful of them, yes, but the majority of them, no. Most of the Republicans, no. A high percentage of the Republicans, no. It appears that a very high percentage of Republicans, period, still approve of Junior Bush's actions in Iraq and would back him on any proposal to go into Iran. Hard to believe, but it's true. I don't know how he gets away with it. I don't know what it is. I don't know if this country, majority of the Republicans are bordering on insanity or what. It's not insanity. It's just terrible judgment. It's, well, they're abdicating their responsibilities to this country, to the people of this country, if they go along with the actions and deeds of one Mr. George W. Bush at this point, when the entire world knows that he couldn't be more wrong in this situation. The nation, we are wrong as a nation for even allowing it to happen. We're going to head off to news now at the top of the hour. When we come back, we're going to get Bruce Kaufman with us from talkingradio.blogspot.com and hear what's going on in the world of talk radio. You're listening to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be back right after the news, and I'm planning on you being back as well.
This is the Quality News Network. Wall Street this morning opened sharply down after markets in Asia and Europe showed signs of weakness. The market has rebounded, but trading is still volatile. On Tuesday, the market closed over 400 points down, the lowest since after 9/11. In fierce fighting in a village in western Anbar province, Iraqi security forces killed dozens of al-Qaeda militants. Sunni tribal leaders have been squaring off with Sunni al-Qaeda militants for control over the desert province. 80 militants have been killed and 50 captured. For the first time since the mid-1990s, peacekeepers are once again in Mogadishu, Somalia. Ugandan police, military police arrived today as part of the first contingent of an American African peacekeeping force. Troops from Burundi and Nigeria have agreed to send troops, as well as expected contributions from Malawi and Ghana. The Horn of Africa has been embroiled in brutal clan violence that dates back 16 years. Still fighting criticism over his response to Hurricane Katrina, President Bush is visiting the Gulf Coast region today. He will be stopping in Long Beach, Mississippi, and then giving an afternoon speech at a charter school in New Orleans. It's the president's 14th visit since the storm and his first in 6 months. Talks in Seoul between North Korea and South Korea continue to move forward. Today, North Korea's second-in-command has pledged his country's commitment to giving up its nuclear weapons program. There was also talk of reunifying the Korean Peninsula, which is technically still at war after a ceasefire ended the Korean War in 1953. In Baghdad, a minibus carrying municipal authorities hit a roadside bomb today. One official was killed, four more were wounded. In Bosnia-Herzegovina, most of the remaining British NATO troops will be withdrawn from 6,000 to 2,500 as part of a larger reduction of European forces. The UK defense minister says Bosnia's improved security situation has made the reduction possible. More weather woes for the country's heartland. A 7-year-old girl was killed in Missouri today when a tornado barreled through Howell County just after dawn this morning. The storm ripped out power poles, cutting off power, and is part of a line of thunderstorms that stretched from Minnesota to Louisiana. In Sacramento, a bill has been introduced that gives every child born in California next year a $500 savings account. If passed, the money could only be used for college, a down home, or a retirement plan. Once a child turns 18, the original $500 must be repaid. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
In New York, the latest survey of Institute of Supply Management executives shows the country's manufacturing sector is growing again. The ISM index came in at 52.3 for February, up from 49.3 in January. A reading above 50 indicates growth. The Coast Guard is trying to determine the environmental damage brought by yesterday's toxic spill in the Ohio River. A barge hit an underwater dam, dumping 8,000 gallons of highly toxic solvent into the waters. Once again, Japanese automakers' top consumer reports lists for reliability, safety, and value. Toyota and Honda did particularly well in the magazine's tests. The Australian government today gave the go-ahead to the acquisition of Qantas Airways by a private investor group. The price tag, $8.6 billion. Quarterly earnings fell 15% for limited brands, even though robust sales were reported at its companies, Victoria's Secret and Bed Bath & Beyond. The world's largest reinsurance group, Swiss Re, today posted an annual net profits of $3.8 billion. That's an increase of nearly 100% from 2005. And Home Depot is telling its investors the housing slump will mean fewer earnings and leaner sales growth this year. The world's largest home improvement chain has promised to reinvest $2.2 million. And on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is down 21, the NASDAQ is down 8, and the S&P 500 is down 2. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you got something out of the news. I picked a few little tidbits out of there that will help keep me informed. Hope you're all having a good day today. Sunshine in here in Southwest Florida today. It's a beautiful afternoon, but as we mentioned at the top of the hour, if you live in the eastern third of the United States, keep your antenna up this afternoon. I'm hearing that there's some very, very severe weather out there in the form of tornadoes that have already touched down in three different states. So keep an eye out. Keep an eye out on the weather. Hey, as promised, we're going to do something new on the program today, and we're going to have a segment today about what's new and what's happening and all the skinny on talk radio. And we have with us today Bruce Kaufman. He's the owner, proprietor, head chief and cook and bottle washer and the whole bit over at talkingradio.blogspot.com. Bruce, welcome to the program.
Hey, Guy. How are you?
I'm great today. You're going to... You're just going to let us know everything there is to know about what's going on in talk radio today, right?
Well,
you know everything there is to know, right?
Well, as I promised you, I thank you for the opportunity to participate in your show. I'm a longtime fan. I've been listening to your show for quite a while, so it's a pleasure to be part of it.
Well, we're glad to have you, and I know that you're very knowledgeable about talk radio in general. We've had some conversations about it lately, and good news, bad news, whatever for talk radio, and that's why we want you on the show to let all of our listeners know what's going on, because they're obviously interested in talk radio.
Well, if you have any listeners in the Los Angeles area, there's a story that broke just about an hour ago, now a couple hours ago, where there's going to be a total makeover of the liberal talk radio station, KTLK AM, in Los Angeles. And it's probably a sign of things to come, given the problems at Air America and the problems with some of the talkers there. Most significantly, they have picked up, this might be a little bit different for people who are not familiar with Los Angeles, but there was a talk radio host named Mr. KABC, who was on KABC, who was fired last week to make room for Mark Levin, their syndicated right-wing talker. And he was the last liberal on the station, so they finally got rid of him. And he is now going to be on KTLK on the 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. slot, which is, 3 p.m. to the 7 p.m. slot, which is really the prime time for talk radio in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big news just broke today. And it's bad news for your friend Ed Schultz, because he gets
let me correct you.
No. Oh, I'm sorry.
Do not refer him to him as my friend Ed Schultz.
Okay.
All right. let's just get that straight right here.
All right. I'm sorry there. Yeah. But Ed Schultz now has moved to the very undesirable 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., which is pretty much bad news there for him, because he's not carried in New York, so that means that in the two top markets, which account for 14% of the radio listeners in the country, he's going to be pretty much not available during prime time. So but they've made a lot of other changes. I don't want to bore your listeners with everything. They dropped Lionel and picked up Alan Colmes, which is interesting. And they moved Randy Rhodes around, but she pretty much is okay. She's got a lateral move. And they dumped a few other late-night Air America radio talkers who were on overnight, which I don't think anyone really listens to, and picked up Bill Press. So anyhow, if this is a sign of things to come, I think we're going to see a lot of shakeups in your local liberal talk radio station. So we'll be keeping an eye on that and talking radio.
Well, you're not talking, so far you haven't talked about very much positive for liberal talk radio.
Oh, no. Well, this was, this is a lateral move. It's still, KTLK is still a liberal talk radio station.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably, it's good news and bad news. Depends what you like.
Yeah.
Certainly I think the station will be stronger by having Mark Germain, because he is a very, very popular local guy in Los Angeles. So he's going to bring a lot of people over to the station. So I think it's actually a good news situation for liberal talk radio in Los Angeles.
Well, good. How is Los Angeles? Is it, I mean, I know how it is politically, but as far as the talk radio venue around town, is it overwhelmingly right wing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's very typical of most markets. You have the two top stations are KFI, which is the Clear Channel conservative station, and KABC, which is the ABC conservative station. KFI is a little more dependent. They have Rush Limbaugh, so that gives them a dominance. But they have a lot of local talkers like Bill Handel and John and Ken, who are really good, but they're kind of right wing in their perspective. That being said, the liberal talk station KTLK has done pretty well, getting about two share. They are now the third most popular talk station in town. And in fact, their morning programming, which is anchored by Stephanie Miller, is number two. So they're doing okay. But this move will really, really be an interesting development, because I think he was Mr. KABC. I doubt he will be Mr. KABC now that he's on KTLK.
Yeah.
But Mark Germain will probably become the number two talk host in the afternoon, beating out the programming that is carried on ABC.
Well,
that's the breaking story, so maybe that's why I'm talking a lot about it.
Well, a lot of people just don't understand. You know, we hear it all the time, and many talk radio show hosts do hear all the time. You know, why don't we get more shows on from the left? Why don't we do this, and why don't we don't do that? I don't think a lot of people understand about the limited shelf space available in this business. It's a dog-eat-dog, and it's fighting for spots is a tough deal.
Well, let's face it. You know, it's the radio business is has gone through a lot of changes historically. The most significant one happened in the late '80s when AM radio lost all of their music programming pretty much to FM, and at some point people thought that AM was going to die. But it, strangely enough, it was right wing talk that kind of saved the day with Rush Limbaugh and. Being very innovative programmers, all of these radio companies just try to copy Rush Limbaugh, and that's why conservative talk so dominates the spectrum. Now, you know, we're seeing an attempt now to launch liberal talk radio. It's going to take some time, but it's hanging in there.
Well, in your opinion, are we making any progress? I mean, I've told everybody, and I believe I told you recently, was at a little conference recently where, you know, some of the top liberal talkers, I should say progressive talkers, I'm the only one that says I'm a liberal, we're just crying the blues that they're losing stations, and so many of their stations are low-power day stations and so forth. I heard a lot of weeping over that. What do you think the general outlook is for liberal progressive radio?
Well, there's no question that the bankruptcy of Air America Radio hurt liberal talk. There's certainly no feeling that the radio companies are behind liberal talk. They're going to stay with it if they think it serves them well. I think that we've seen some losses recently in terms of coverage. We've lost in New Haven and Boston and Columbus, Ohio, your old stomping ground, Cincinnati, Ohio. But that seems to have stabilized now, and I do think that that the worst is over, and that now we'll probably start to see some gains in liberal talk again. That's just my hunch. But that being said, it's a tough business, the radio business, and you know it. You've been around it a long time. It's going to take ratings, and it's going to take some kind of breakthrough host. I think our friends at Air America have to come up with some good programming that people want to listen to. We have to figure out a way to get Guy James on more radio stations.
Hey, Bruce, let me interrupt here for a second. I've got somebody that might want to ask you a question here.
Sure.
Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. You have a question for Bruce?
Yes. Hi, Guy. This is Gene in Hillsboro.
Yes.
I was wanting to know what he thinks of. I understand the Clear Channel will be bought out next month, and I just want to know what his thoughts on that were, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Get Clear Channel bought out next month.
That's a very good question, and I've been following it. You know, I don't want to get too technical or actually try to get beyond my area of expertise, but Clear Channel, which is by far the largest talk radio, radio operator, but certainly talk radio operator. They have 1,400 stations around the country, is going private. In other words, their stock hasn't moved too well on the stock market, so they decided to buy out the investors and to take the company private. They think they can do more things. Well, doing that, they're going to get rid of about 500 stations. That's one-third of their stations. They're selling them. And they also have to get their investors to say, okay, that's the meeting on March 21st. Where the investors have to sign off on this deal, and there's a lot of the investors who are not in favor of this deal at all. So there's a chance it might not go through.
500 stations.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, the small. Don't make it think that's the effectively cutting their coverage by
right.
one third. because these are the smaller stations.
Yeah, these would be the ones they went around and picked more or less just to have the area instead of the
Generally they're smaller markets. They're hanging on to all the larger markets. Like Fargo, North Dakota is a good example. That one they sold back to the original guy who owned the station. And strangely enough, he made $15 million on that deal because he sold the station for $40 million and he bought it back for $25
million. Oh, sweet deal.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got another caller on here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. You have a question for Bruce?
Yes, I do, gentlemen. Dave from California. What had happened to NovaM in Phoenix that they dropped, or Mike Newcomb left, and there's plans of putting Peter B. Collins in the overnight slot? Now, I think that would be most unfortunate, both moves.
Yeah, not to overplug my blog, but I do have a post on that issue.
Plug it all you want, Bruce.
Talkingradio.blogspot.com. That's an unfortunate one. I don't want to speculate too much on what is going on there, except that the owner of NovaM, or at least one of the owners, my understanding was Mike Newcomb is an equity owner, or was an equity owner. But Sheldon Drobny and Anita Drobny, who were the original founders of Air America Radio, believe it or not, they're the driving force behind NovaM. And apparently there was a falling out with Mr. Newcomb, and they've decided to go their separate ways. They added some other local hosts, a guy named Jeff Farias and John Loftus. I have not heard either of their programs, so I can't say whether they're going to be equal to or even equivalent to Dr. Mike. But they also brought in Stephanie Miller in the morning, feeling, I guess, that she'd be a better offering for that time period. So that one remains to be seen.
Okay.
We'll see what happens.
Okay, Dave, thank you. Thank you for your call.
So much.
Originally, you were going to be with us just until about now. Bruce, do you have any more time? Are you booked?
Well, I got a little more time.
Okay.
I would like to talk about another story.
Yes, please do.
Until this breaking one came up, I was all ready to talk about another story on Talking Radio, which was posted just today, which I think you'd get a kick out of, Ed. I mean, excuse me, Guy.
Oh, what a Freudian slip.
Flip there. It involves an outfit called the Calvary Satellite Network, and this was an article that appeared yesterday in the LA Times, and I don't even know if I have the time or the capability of describing this story. I have it posted on my blog. It involves this very large talk radio network, a Christian talk radio network called the Calvary Satellite Network, which has 200 stations all over the country, mostly low power, which is interesting.
Oh, come on now, Bruce. You're not going to tell us that any Christian broadcasting group or anybody affiliated with it would have any nefarious things going on within your organization.
Let's put it this way. The story has some sex in it.
No.
Apparently one of the pastors was sexually harassing some of his employees.
No.
One
was Ted Haggard ever there?
No, not Ted Haggard.
All right.
This is straight, good old heterosexual.
I just wondered if he dropped by one day.
No. This is a young woman named Lori Pollitt who is suing. She was a former Dallas cowboy cheerleader who went to work for their network in I believe it was in Twin Falls, Idaho. And, one of the principals, this pastor, Mike Kessler, he's been involved in a number of sexual harassment suits.
You don't say.
Most recently with this Lori Pollitt. And the other principal, Pastor Chuck Smith, who is the pretty much the money behind this network, because this is a group out of California that made a lot of money on doing evangelist work out here. So so the whole thing sort of blew up. And
money and evangelism. Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, they just that's pretty much the mix there.
And it's you got it. You got the whole spiel on the black box.
I got the whole story, and I got a link to the article in the L.A. Times, which is really an excellent. It was a page one story yesterday in the L.A. Times. So it just on Talking Radio, as you know, we mainly focus on the emerging liberal talk radio market, which is very active right now. But every once in a while, we'll expand our mission to talk about other forms of word programming.
We're interested right now on our Head On Radio network. We're listed on iTunes now, and we've noticed a significant group coming over from iTunes, which is interesting how this whole thing can get mixed up and interlinked. Hey, I've got another caller here. We'd like to ask you a question. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. You have a question for Bruce?
Yes, gentlemen. Perfect timing because I'm an iTunes listener and I'm enjoying the topic from your guest and you, Guy. But I was hoping you'd get into not terrestrial radio because I know myself and most of my friends are interested in Internet streaming radio. That's the wave of the future. Terrestrial radio is old school, and it's good to hear about L.A. and New York, but that doesn't affect me. I listen to my Internet liberal talk or progressive talk on the Internet through iTunes and through other sources, and I know you're a guest had an article posted on there about second-tier talkers. It was a fascinating article. I was hoping he would go into that a little bit more.
Okay. Well,
and I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you. All right. What about that, Bruce?
Well, there's no question that the streaming, there's a lot of talk about satellite radio with the merger of XM and Sirius, and I was actually watching on C-SPAN yesterday when they were grilling the Mel Karmazin, who's going to be the head of this new venture, and basically, I was very impressed with some of the congressmen at the meeting who understood that, hey, I don't even think that satellite radio is going to be able to deal with the competition from streaming radio networks and Wi-Fi and iTunes, and it's incredible. I actually did some research and found out this was about 3 or 4 months ago, that 20% of the listening to Air America Radio was done on the Internet, which is incredible. In fact, Air America, at that point, their stream was the fifth most popular streamed audio on the Internet. Hmm. So there's no question that a lot of people, especially in areas that don't have a liberal talk radio station, which is over 50% of the country flat out does not get a liberal talk radio station.
Sure.
So they have to go to streamed audio to get liberal talk. And if you listen to any of the network shows, you'll always hear people from Nebraska, people from Idaho, and you know they're listening online. They're not listening to our station. So your caller is making a very good point. However, there's no question now that liberal talk radio must compete on every level if it's going to be successful. It can't rely just on the emerging technology. It has to also try to be competitive amongst the terrestrial radio world.
Right.
As well.
I agree. Bruce, you're at talkingradio.blogspot.com.
Yep.
And you update that site pretty doggone regularly, almost every day.
Well, I think I said to you the other day that 90% of the talk radio is conservative. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But 90% of the news on talk radio is liberal.
Yeah.
It just seems that the with all the developments, the Air America bankruptcy, Ed Schultz's meltdown a couple of weeks ago, there is no shortage of stories. This development today in Los Angeles, it's a very hot subject right now, so we're going to try and cover it as best as we can.
Well, we'll count on you to keep us posted. Bruce, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, Guy.
Thank you. Bruce Kaufman from TalkingRadio.blogspot. He pretty much keeps his ear to the ground on talk radio, and it's good to know somebody like that. We chat once in a while on the phone, and he does have his ear to the ground. He does. He always seems to find out what's going on. Let me see. Where are we at here now? I need to consult with the producer. And yes, Mr. Producer, what do you think we ought to do right now? Oh, he thinks we ought to play this. We'll be back in just a minute. One of my favorite tunes.
When I was a little bitty boy, just up off of the floor, we used to go down to Grandma's house every month in the snow. We'd have chicken pie and country ham, homemade butter on the bread. But the best darn thing about Grandma's house was a great big feather bed. It was 9 feet high and 6 feet wide, soft as a downy chick. It was made from the feathers of 411 geese, and the home was a clock for the tick. It'd hold 8 kids and 4 hound dogs and a piggy we stole from the shed. We didn't get much sleep, but we had a lot of fun on Grandma's feather bed. After supper, we'd sit around the fire. The old folks would spit and chew. Pa would talk about the farm and the war, and Granny'd sing a ballad or two. I'd sit and listen and watch the fire till the cobwebs filled my head. Next thing I'd know, I'd wake up in the morning in the middle of the old feather bed. It was 9 feet high and 6 feet wide, soft as a downy chick. It was made from the feathers of 411 geese, took a whole one pot for a tick. It'd hold 8 kids and 4 hound dogs and a piggy we stole from the shed. We didn't get much sleep, but we had a lot of fun on Grandma's feather bed. Well, I love my ma, I love my pa, I love Granny and Grandpa too. I've been fishing with my uncle, I wrestled with my cousin, I even kissed Aunt Lou. Ooh, but if I ever had to make a choice, I guess it ought to be sick. But I'd trade them all, plus a gal down the road, for Grandma's feather bed. I'd trade them all, plus a gal down the road.
Well, I best bed at the gal down the road.
It was 9 feet high and 6 feet wide, soft as a downy chick. It was made from the feathers of 411 geese, took a whole bowl of cloth for a tick. Whole 8 kids, 4 hound dogs, and a piggy we'd stolen from the shed. We didn't get much sleep, but we had a lot of fun on Grandma's feather bed. We didn't get much sleep, but we had a lot of fun on Grandma's feather bed.
Troubled water, I will lay me down. administration looked at the intelligence, and we saw a threat. Members of Congress looked at the intelligence, and they saw a threat. The United Nations Security Council looked at the intelligence, and it saw a threat.
Very funny.
Tell us what you think. Call Guy James now, 1-866-546-5254.
Back with you here on the Guy James Show on the last, 25, 26 minutes left in the program. We hope you'll give us a call, 866-546-5254. We'll pay for the call, 866-546-5254. If you're in the Phoenix area, you can call our Phoenix Bureau, 623-444-5252. And in Washington, D.C., 202-370-6153. Be glad to have you call today. Interesting hearing what's going on in talk radio. If you agree, disagree, let us know. We'll be happy to talk to you about it. I want to talk about poor old Dick Cheney for a minute. He heard that boom, that big boom the other day. And, you know, it makes you wonder. So they're after Dick Cheney now. Tried to bomb him. Well, they killed, 17, 18 people, others in the process, and Dickie Boy, better known as Shooter to a lot of people, walks out completely unscathed and just heard a big boom. It just proves that as long as Cheney and his little toady Bush are in power, no one is safe. It's odd, but I seem to remember Cheney making proclamations about Afghanistan, kind of like his famous last throes remark in reference to Iraq only. He said Afghanistan is a done deal back then. Dream on, Dickie Boy. Dream on. It's a done deal, all right. We see evidence of that every day, don't we? We took most of our military hardware and soldiers and extremely important CIA intelligence people out of Afghanistan to help with the, what you called, Mr. Cheney, last throes in Iraq. And now the Taliban and Al-Qaeda have taken over Afghanistan once again. They're poised for a major offensive coming up in the spring. We're told that the only place in Afghanistan that's safe at all from opposition forces is Kabul. And that isn't exactly a piece of cake either. And we do know. We've heard from military leaders that are extremely worried about being able to hold off a major offensive they think might be coming this spring. So soon, no American is going to be safe anywhere on this planet, including our own country. But Bush, Cheney boy, was the victim here. That's what they wanted us to think. You know, the attack on the U.S. base in Afghanistan just highlights the growing violence and danger in that country. When we broke our promise to the Afghani people and abandoned them, and that's what we did for the ill-fated folly of attacking Iraq. Remember, Afghanistan, Taliban, Al-Qaeda, that's what this whole thing was supposed to be about in the first place, and as it turns out, it was nothing more than an excuse for Bush to get troops over there and just move them into Iraq. How convenient. But when we walked out of there and pretty much abandoned them, we left a power vacuum that's allowed the Taliban to almost completely reemerge as a very powerful force. And that's also resulted in a stronger and more virulent Al-Qaeda network in Afghanistan and Pakistan. There's little question about that. Intelligence experts completely agree with that. Ask Negroponte what he thinks. And to further point out the idiocy of this administration, Bush lackey General Shoemaker doesn't think capturing bin Laden is at all important. Man, that's a long ways from those capturing dead or alive days, isn't it? But that's been the clear message out of this administration almost from the very beginning. The American people may think that bin Laden and Al-Qaeda are the targets of this war on terror, but the Bush administration evidently doesn't see it that way. Iraq and Iran are the targets, and we, the American people, are the victims of this, what I can only call a rogue administration. Their crazy theories about how the world should work and how they want it to work are putting us in grave danger. And while the administration is being warned, again, that Al-Qaeda poses a serious threat to U.S. security, that the policies implemented by the Bush administration And let's face it, it's absolutely true that their policies are only furthering the agenda of Al-Qaeda. And they're driving more and more people toward radical Islam and radical Christianity in this country and radical Zionism. And at the same time, they help silence the more moderate voices. And the moderate folks are losing their voice. The extremists of all these religions are floating to the top. And it just seems to me that Bush and Cheney are just absolutely hell-bent upon seeking that, how's he say it, clash of civilizations that Junior loves to talk about so much. He just doesn't seem to understand that conflicts such as this are resolved by people meeting in the middle, by negotiating with a real desire for a resolution by people intelligent enough to understand the situation and the consequences of a massive failure like we're facing right now. Frankly, I'm not one bit surprised that this administration, which is being led by warmongering imperialists, is leading us down the path of destruction. I'm not at all surprised. I predicted it. Many of you did as well. And I think it's become clear now that the farther down their path we travel, the more chaos and conflict awaits us. We're finding that all the time. We're on a path from which there might not be any return. And we may well have crossed that point of no return. I can only hope to God that I'm wrong on that. But Bush and his administrations are simply not capable. They're not willing. They're not even evidently remotely interested in fixing the problem. They're fixed on only one thing. And that's conquering the entire Middle East and its oil. That was clear to me from the onset of this whole business, and I'm sure to most all of you as well. It was abundantly clear that any excuse would do for Bush to commence some sort of hostilities in that area, and once they started, it was going to be next to impossible to turn back. And that's what he and his minions were counting on all along. They believed that once we were led into war, that the population of the United States would back him no matter what if he pushed his phony crap about getting bin Laden and getting even for 9/11. 9/11 was never a cause for the Bush administration. It was nothing more than a convenient excuse to start a war that his puppet masters had been drooling over and planning for over a decade. We know that now. We have all the proof we need. And we're hearing from the White House that they have no plans to attack Iran. And my memory's not that bad. It seems to me that he also said one time that he had no plans to attack Iraq. How could we believe him? I think the better question is, who would believe him? Only the most deluded, simple-minded Americans can believe a word that comes out of his mouth right now. Bush personally is past his own point of no return where his credibility is concerned. Quite simply, he's proven to be a prolific liar, and any sensible person would simply not believe a single word he says. And frankly, it bothers me that so many reporters and pundits are inferring that Bush isn't crazy enough to attack Iran, and he is most likely just saber-rattling. When we've got a number of generals coming forth now saying they'll resign in protest if we attack Iran. I don't know about you, but that's all the evidence I need to know that something's in the works and that indeed Bush is crazy enough to attack Iran. Hearing that from the generals was enough proof for me that their plans are very far along. And much of the military thinks it would be a disaster. And I agree, it would make the Bush war in Iraq look like child's play. And if there's a way, any way to avoid it, we must stop him from going forward on this. I think it's becoming more clear every day. For a while, I thought maybe they saw the handwriting on the wall and that the American people might not stand for it. And that they might back down from it. but I really am not seeing any indications. Perhaps the scheduled meeting that they're talking about now between Iraq, Iran, and possibly officials from the United States, maybe that will bear some fruit. But we cannot go to a negotiating table like we're trying to do already with a bunch of demands and so forth before it even starts. We can't humiliate the other side. We can't be condescending to the other side. We can't hold a bomb over the heads of the other people on the other side. It has to be honest and open negotiation, done with respect and whatever understanding that we can muster about one another. That's what it has to be. Doesn't have to be any kind of a meeting where it goes in and the representatives from the United States say, look here, this is we're running this meeting, we're the king of the world, and you little people are just going to listen to what we have to say and acquiesce to our demands. It's not the way it works, especially not in the Middle East. Those people aren't going to take it. I don't know why we should have to remind them, but it seems we do. To remind the officials of our administration that the Russians walked out of Afghanistan with their tails between their legs after 10 long, hard years in that country, and they accomplished absolutely nothing. They left in disgrace. Dare anybody doubt the resolve of the people in the Middle East and the tenaciousness when they find themselves with their backs against the wall? And I'm afraid that's the way they're looking at it right now. They have their backs to the wall, and they're going to bare their teeth. And in a way, who can blame them? They've been threatened. The country of Iraq has been invaded and occupied. Who can blame them? Well, we're going to pause for another break right now, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. I hope you'll stay with us.
Thank you.
My, oh my, where does the time go on these days? Flying by. 10 minutes left in the program. You can give us a call at 866-546-5254. Love to hear from you this afternoon. That's 866-546-5254. If you want to shoot us an email, it's guyjames@theguyjamesshow. I'd like to hear from you in that manner as well. I apologize for not answering all the email. I just can't find enough hours in the day. I do my best, but I hope you'll accept my apology. If you send a comment, and maybe you don't necessarily expect a response. So I'm always happy to hear your comments, and I do answer what I can. But man, it's tough to keep up with. So I know you understand. I'd like to talk just a little bit. You know, we're always hearing from our Republican friends whenever they have a convention or a little get together. You know, they always talk about their family values and how those damn liberals don't have any family values, and it's them that has the market cornered on family values. Yes, morality, family values. I'd like to ask the question: why do Republicans hate American families? That's a honest question, isn't it? Why do they hate American families? Went out and found some statistics that are rather startling. The United States is one of only 5 countries that does not provide or require employers to provide some form of paid maternity leave, placing it behind a majority of the world when it comes to instituting family-oriented job policies, according to a new study. It's a study from McGill University's Institute of Health and Social Policy. The United States, Lesotho, Liberia, Swaziland, and Papua New Guinea were the only countries. That's some company, isn't it? A company we keep, isn't it? Lesotho, Liberia, Swaziland, and Papua New Guinea, and the United States. The only countries out of 173 studied that didn't guarantee any paid leave for mothers. And by now, the right-wingers are screaming, well, why should we give them any paid leave for mothers? They're the ones that got themselves pregnant. We didn't. It's their responsibility. You know, they only live for today, do they? Don't they? They can't see past their noses. Overall, the study's other major findings indicate that workplace policies in the United States for families, such as paid sick days and support for breastfeeding, are weaker than those in all high-income countries as well as many middle- and low-income countries. At least 145 countries provide paid sick days for short- and long-term illnesses, with 127 countries providing for a week or more every year, the study found. In addition, 137 countries require its employers to provide paid annual leave, whereas the United States does not guarantee any sort of paid leave. Under the Family and Medical Leave Act of 1993, U.S. workers are allowed to take up to 12 weeks leave to tend to family or medical needs, but their absence is unpaid. I'm not saying here that we should give 12 weeks of paid leave. States are beginning to take more of an initiative on this front, human resources experts say. For example, California has passed legislation for paid family leave called State Disability Insurance Program, which entitles employees to a maximum of 6 weeks of partial pay per year to care for a newborn or other family matters. While U.S. companies are moving in a way of providing more family-friendly workplace policies, many currently provide alternative forms of payments through their short-term disability programs. For example, having a baby can be considered a qualifying condition for getting paid disability leave. So here we are with Lesotho, Liberia, Swaziland, and Papua New Guinea among the most anti-family nations on earth. But wait, there's more good news. This is from The Hill. Employer groups to take aim at part of medical leave law. Employer groups are trying to persuade the Bush administration to restrict the illnesses that qualify under the Family and Medical Leave Act and make it less tempting for workers to take sporadic time off under the law. The latest push by employers to modify the Family and Medical Leave Act comes on the heels of a Department of Labor request in December for public comment on the law, and just after, Senator Chris Dodd, one of the original architects, introduced a bill on February 1st to expand the act. They fight it every step of the way, and I ask the question once again, why do Republicans hate the American family so? Got time for one last call here. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
Yes. Guy, this is your wife.
Yes.
And I just want to say that they're going to lose a wonderful speaker, an articulate historian, and someone who gave the facts to the people that they didn't know before. And we're losing someone very, very special. The hard work that has been done and the hours that have put into this at no pay for you, because you love the Democrats and you love this country and you did it with your heart and your soul. No Democrat has done what you have done. And it came from the heart. It came from your heart to the people. You've informed thousands of people, and yet the Democrats have let you down and terribly disappointed in them. You have increased your listening to thousands. You have gotten thousands of emails, and no one is supporting you.
Well, that's the nature of the game. And
disappointment is so great. It is unbelievable, Guy James, because there has never been anyone like you.
Well,
you have opened the eyes to many people. That's all I have to say.
Well, thanks.
And God bless you.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
I didn't know that was coming. We've had this discussion about the direction of the program, and I mentioned that at the beginning of the program today, and I didn't mean that to come off as self-serving in any way, shape, or form. It's difficult for people on the left right now to keep radio programs going. It's very difficult, and many do it for no pay, for nothing whatsoever. In fact, pay for a great deal of it out of their pocket. And we're in that situation right now where the well is going dry, and I hate to admit that, and I hate to talk to a national audience about that sort of thing, and didn't mean to really bring it up, but that's the way it is. And I hope you'll consider that. If some of you want to help out the program, help it stay viable, at least for a little while longer, why, you may do so at theguyjamesshow.com. I appreciate that very much. Where are we at here? We're down to the last couple of minutes of the show. Time passed very quickly today. Anyway, I might have time for one more quick call here. I've got one of the lines lighting up. I've got just a few seconds. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
I'm sorry, Guy. I want to talk to you off air.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Bye now. All right. Well, here we are down at the end of the program. We're just about out of gas today. All my notes that I made of things I want to talk about, I got too many things that take too long to talk to address right now. I've enjoyed being with you today, as always, and I do enjoy doing the program. And We've never done this program to make money or anything. And in fact, as has been mentioned, we've spent a tremendous amount from our own resources to keep this program going over the years. We've been on about, 4 years and three months now, going on that. And we enjoy the interaction with the audience each and every day. Enjoy hearing your comments and suggestions and all that. So, anyway, I digress, and I got a little bit tongue-tied there at the end of the program, so you'll forgive us for that. We're down at the end of the program. You are listening to The Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. Always remember, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Have a good one, gang.